I take as my text today from St. Luke's Gospel. And he said, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be all acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." We are in the midst of our preparation for the Lenten season, noting that the three Gesimus Sundays are in essence an extension of Lent without the austerity. We look forward to Lent with a certain dread, perhaps because of the great emphasis on fasting and penitence, along with a sense of dreariness. While Christianity is and should be a positive spiritual experience, there is also a need for reflection, a time for introspection and contemplation, and Lent fulfills that need. Not that we can't be introspective and contemplative in other times, but that Orthodox Christianity sets that time aside for us as a special preparatory period for that climactic event in the salvation of mankind, which we celebrate on Easter Sunday. Today, the second Sunday before Lent, we read a portion of Scripture which may be referred to as keynote in the transitional period from a season of expectation and joy to a season of solemnity and deprecation. I am referring to the Gospel passage from St. Luke concerning the parable of the sower and the seed. For this parable is the key to all parables, and poses for us a certain question which requires a great deal of introspection. First, though, how should we define a parable? I would offer that a parable in the context of the New Testament is a narrative that is true to nature or life and used for the purpose of conveying spiritual truth to the mind of the hearer. There is a certain harmony between things spiritual and things material. And in parables, we can see material objects used to express spiritual truths, revealing that nature is more than it seems. The great theologian Tertullian wrote on this subject, "All things in nature are prophetic outlines of divine operations, God not merely speaking parables, but doing them." In essence, then, a parable is an outward symbol of an inward reality, and the parables of Jesus as such become more than mere illustrations. Rather, they are analogies with nature becoming a witness for the spiritual world. Thus, we come to the parable of the sower and the seed. I think this is an easy parable to visualize, especially if we've had any experience with planting seeds, whether on a farm or just in the yard. We can even imagine that Jesus himself may have looked across the fields and saw someone sowing seeds, taking handfuls and casting them about. As they were scattered, some of the seeds dropped along the pathway, some among the thorns, some on the rocky areas, but most came to rest on the fertile ground for which they were intended. Our Lord simply took what he saw, expressing it in the form of a parable to illustrate the mysteries of the kingdom of God. The central figure of the parable is not the sower, it is the fate of the seeds that is central. Certainly, we may link the sower with Jesus, the Christian teachers as well, but it is the seed standing for Christian truth that figures prominently in the parable, beautifully illustrating how the Christian truth or word of God is received by those who hear it. The seed falling on the wayside, the hard beaten path across the field, was trodden down and eaten by birds. Of whom could Jesus possibly be thinking? Perhaps those caught up in worldly affairs, business, or social calls? Those whose minds are so preoccupied with other concerns that the words of a sermon are lost in hearts already filled with the worldly? They hear the word, "Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Then there is a seed which falls on rocky places, where the soil is thin and insufficient to support the root system. The seed quickly sprouts, but just as quickly withers away. The parallel may be those who are quickly and readily susceptible to religious influence, but despite their excitement and enthusiasm, soon lose interest, tire, and fade from the scene. They hear and receive the word with joy, but having no root, for a while believe, and in time of temptation, fall away. Some seed falls among the thorns, where it is choked up and dies. We may liken this soil to those who, while capable of developing true spirituality, are torn between God and the world. Finding they are unable to serve two masters, they give way and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. Finally, in the parable, we come to the seed which falls on good ground. Here we have the Christians who are not only receptive to the word of God, but who also respond by developing their spirituality to the fullest extent of their capability. They are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. The question is, where do each of us fit into this parable? What kind of soil are we? What is the fate of the seed that falls on us? When we hear the word of God, do we take it into our hearts and let it grow within us to bring forth fruit? What makes this parable so significant and key to the other parables is that it shows the proclamation of the gospel to sinners. Attention is focused not on the sower, but on the soil, the recipient, us, and what happens to the seed of truth. So again, the question, what kind of soil are we? The answer lies within each of us. We have heard the good news, and now we have heard, and we have heard that, and now that we have heard it, has it changed us in any way? Have we shown forth the fruit of good works? Have we acquired the disposition of attitude or personality which reflects a change in our lives? We have helps, the sacraments of the church, the word through scripture, the power of the Holy Spirit, and the strength of communal worship. So as we make preparation for Lent, we are challenged by the parable of the sower and seed, challenged to look within ourselves and determine what kind of soil we really are. If we are good soil, receptive to the word of God, then we can go forward and grow in knowledge and wisdom and love of God to bear the fruit of good works through faith. If we discover that we are less than the soil we are intended to be by the grace of God, then we have the body of Christ, the church, to help us become fertile ground for the seed, to prepare us just as the fields must be prepared to receive the seed, cleared of rocks and weeds and other debris before tilled. We each have the potential to be the fertile ground for the word of God, knowing that God did not create us for any purpose than to love Him and become united with Him and His kingdom. Yet, because He is infinite wisdom, He gave us freedom to choose. And because He is infinite love, He also gave us His only begotten Son to make it possible for us to choose Him and to bring forth fruit and patience. In the words of St. Gregory the Great, through patience, therefore, is it that men bear fruit, because when tribulations are humbly endured, they are received on high with joy unto eternal rest. What kind of soil are we? What happens when we receive the seed? Does it grow and produce, or is it choked with the cares and riches of the world? Does it wither away because it cannot take root? In the spirit of the approaching season of Lent, pray, contemplate, reflect, and prepare your heart and soul for the seed of truth, the word of God, which shall, when it bears fruit, set you apart from the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.